The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Have you been deceived? Have you understood the real message which Jesus Christ brought to this earth? Do you realize, my friends, that Christ's message was about world government? This earth is talking about a new world order and all that kind of thing. Christ's message is about coming world government. It's a powerful message most of you have never understood. Do you realize that the living Jesus Christ will soon return to this earth and set up a literal government on this earth? Do you know what that government will really be like? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, what was Christ's real message? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Even as I speak, newspaper headlines are proclaiming that the United Nations now is planning to become a real world government. They now want a full standing army to enforce their decrees. Perhaps you've read about that. They would like to be able to enforce their ideas, the very liberal ideas on abortion, on education, on the ecology, and many other issues. They want to take over this earth, and they plan a genuine world government more than ever. However, my friends, our Creator, the great God, has other plans. The prophet Daniel, and Jesus quoted from the prophet Daniel, you remember, he was recognized as a servant of God, and his writing was inspired in your Bible. The prophet Daniel, in describing the four great ruling kingdoms of this earth, culminating in a revived Holy Roman Empire, tells us this. Here's what Daniel says after describing those four great ruling kingdoms. First, the Babylonian Empire, then the Medo-Persian Empire, then the Alexandrian Empire, and coming down to the Roman Empire, which, of course, the Bible shows is going to have revival in these last days. Here's what God says. This is the fabled fifth kingdom being described here. Daniel 2, verse 44, and in the days of these kings, culminating, of course, in this revived Holy Roman Empire. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The kingdom of God, God's kingdom, will last forever. And it will not stop. It will not be turned over to people. It will be directly ruled by Jesus Christ and the resurrected saints of God, as we've explained, and I will explain more. Now, notice what the Apostle John was inspired to write, the apostle whom Jesus loved. Turn back here, if you would, to Revelation. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, not up in heaven, but the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. John tells us exactly what Jesus did. It's going to be a great rock that will come down. Christ is that rock, taking over the kingdoms of this world. A real world government will be coming soon in the lifetimes of many of you. Think about it. It's going to change everything around you. And believe it or not, this was Jesus' message. He was preparing people to live a right way of life and preparing them to be kings and priests in the coming world government that He was going to set up and is going soon to set up on this earth, not up in heaven. Turn to chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, here's the time setting, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel, a good news, about the coming kingdom of God, the coming kingdom or government of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand in the person of Christ as the king of that kingdom, and the way of life of that kingdom began to be taught through Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the good news about this coming government of God, that will bring everlasting joy and peace to this world. Straighten out the problems in India and Bangladesh and all over the earth where people are starving, in Africa, Central, South America, everywhere. That kingdom will bring peace and joy and prosperity. And you can be part of it. It is the wave of the future. You can be part of it, my friends, really. It's the ultimate reality. We need to get with it. We can be pioneers in that kingdom if we're willing to understand the real gospel that Jesus Christ taught. Notice chapter 19 of Luke. Turn with me if you're following, and I ask you to check up on me. I'm reading this to you out of your Bible. A lot of you have never been taught these things. You've never understood. Why? Why have you not been taught these precious truths? This is what Christ taught. Luke 19, verse 11. Now, as they heard these things, Jesus spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought, that is, some of his followers thought, the kingdom of God would appear immediately. They thought that Jesus was going to come with the armies of heaven and run the Romans out of Palestine. They thought it would happen right away. He didn't say, no, there's not going to be a real kingdom. It's all some warm feeling in your heart. He did not say that at all. Notice what he did say, though. He gives a parable. A certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and a return, and he called his 10 servants, delivered to them 10 minas, or measures of money, and said to them, do business. Use this money. Do business. Use the talents. Use the abilities. Use the strengths that I give you till I come. But his citizens hated him. He was rejected by the Jewish people of that time. And they sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And so it was when he returned, having received this kingdom, this real government, and this is, of course, talking about Jesus Christ at his second coming, he then commanded these servants to whom he'd given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. It's not wrong to trade money and to do business and to have money in a savings account or some other investment. You shouldn't wildly speculate, but God is not against a monetary system at all. He wanted to know how much every man had gained by trading. Then he came, this first man, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. He'd increased what he'd been given tenfold. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Just go off to heaven and sit around and eat ice cream cones and have nothing to do and just play on a harp and so on. Is that what Jesus said? I think you know better than that, most of you. If you're reading this verse, you sure know better. Follow me. Get rid of these ideas. See what is here in your Bible. It's been here all the time. I didn't put it here. He said, good, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. A literal position of rulership over cities and nations on this earth. That's what was given to Jesus' disciples. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. You be a king and a priest, as we saw last time, ruling over cities on this earth under Jesus Christ as King of Kings. Why haven't you heard about this before? Why have professing ministers of Jesus Christ virtually buried his real message and merely talk about the person of Jesus Christ? Talk about giving your heart to the Lord. Talk about just making your decision for Christ. And that's all there is to it. You don't have to obey Christ. You don't have to build and develop through His Spirit the very character of God. You don't need to prepare for the coming kingdom of God. Baloney! The Bible says otherwise. It says it very, very clearly. But it gives us an exciting future. The real future. I hope you're learning to prepare for that future. But at this point, I invite you to write for a free copy of a brand new booklet I've just completed writing. This booklet is entitled Restoring Apostolic Christianity. It is literally filled with biblical and historical references to prove to you what happened to real Christianity, the real Christianity of Christ and the apostles. This booklet will explain to you in detail what real Christianity is all about. It will help you prepare for your real future, the genuine future that's going to come in the lifetimes of most of you, the soon coming government of God on this earth. Christ is going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and set up a government on this earth. So learn about it. Learn about the real way to that government. Learn about the real way to fulfill the purpose for which you're drawing life and breath. Please call or write today and ask for your free copy of our exciting new booklet on apostolic Christianity.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. My friends, we were talking about a real world government being set up on this earth. Men are talking about a world government, a genuine government through the United Nations. They're always trying to set up a new world order. That's their idea, but God has other plans. He is going to send the true living Jesus Christ, now sitting at the right hand of God, back to this earth as King of kings and Lord of lords, and He will set up a government on this earth. It will shake the earth. It will change everything around you, and you need to prepare for your genuine future. You need to understand. Most of you have been blinded to that future. You've heard about sweet Jesus, little Lord Jesus, all away in a manger, all this kind of stuff, and never heard the real message Christ preached. Notice Luke 19. We were reading there just before the break, and here he tells about the reward he gives to his faithful servants, the one who had gained 10 minas, who'd overcome the most. He was told, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, your mina, your measure of money, has earned 5 minas. And Jesus said, you also be over 5 cities. A genuine reward, an opportunity to rule this earth under Christ and to straighten out the mess in this world, all the society of this world, the nations of this world, the confusion, the starvation, all the things that are going wrong. You will have that opportunity if you're willing to grasp it and to understand what your Bible says and prepare for the future the living God has in mind. Notice in Luke chapter 22 here, Luke 22 verse 28, you are they who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you, he tells his disciples, a kingdom just as my Father has bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, or ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what they were going to do. Genuine government on this earth. You can't poeticize all this away. All through the Old Testament, the prophets told about the coming Messiah, bringing peace all over the earth. And the peace of the world would be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the ocean beds are full of water. You find about the fact that King David was to be resurrected and put back over Israel. Here the 12 apostles were to be put over each one of them, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, under King David. And then the saints are to become kings and priests under Christ. Not only is this talked about in Daniel, in Revelation, in Ezekiel, in all these other scriptures, it's talked about here in the Apostle Paul's writings as well. A lot of you have been given the idea that only the Apostle Paul has credibility, and that is not true. All of the servants of God have credibility. The Bible is inspired by God. Nevertheless, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and beginning in verse 1. Dare any of you, Paul writes, the Christians, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? How dare you go down the street to a worldly court when true Christians are to learn how to judge, how to rule? We're now in training, preparing to rule this earth under Jesus Christ. How dare you go down the street? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? The world is going to be judged by us, my friends. And we are going to even judge or manage angels in tomorrow's world. We need to understand that awesome truth. The Apostle Paul brought it out clearly. We've got to prepare for the genuine future. And that future is to rule this earth under Jesus Christ. Notice Revelation now, chapter 2, and beginning in verse 26. He who overcomes and keeps my works, the way of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the law of Christ, the law of God, until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Not a place in heaven just sitting around with nothing to do, but power over the nations. Obviously, rebellious nations who need power over them. And he shall rule them, the nations of this earth, with a rod of iron. Yes, the overcomer is to do this. Are you an overcomer? Are you going to grow in grace and in knowledge in the very character of Jesus Christ? Are you going to obey God and let him rule your life and prepare you for a job of rulership, a job of honor, a job of glory, and the very glorious ruling family of God, the coming government of God over this earth a few years from now? He says, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken in pieces, as I also received from my Father. Yes, Christ is coming to rule, but the Christian, the overcomer, is also going to rule, because Christ is King of kings, and we will be those lesser kings under Jesus Christ. Notice Revelation chapter 5 now. Turn with me to chapter 5, and you see here in verse 8, the latter part, he talks about the prayers of the saints. And here is this special song or prayer of the saints, verse 9. They sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, here Jesus Christ, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. The precious blood of Jesus redeems us from our past sins. But that doesn't ultimately save us. You're mixed up about that. You've been taught that. No, Christ's blood saves us from our past sins, redeems us to God, but we are saved, as it says in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 10, we're saved by his life. We're saved by him living his life in us. We're not only redeemed by his blood, and our past sins are paid for, but then we have to have the Holy Spirit. We have to have Christ living in us. And then we can begin to qualify and prepare. And God will qualify us for positions of rulership in his coming government. You have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. And we, the saints, shall reign or rule on the earth. Not up in heaven, my friends, but on this earth. This earth is a pretty good place. But when it's ruled by Christ and absolutely beautiful and the desert blooms like the rose and God's way of life is set in motion, it's going to be a wonderful place, a magnificent place. And you and I can help it be that way under Jesus Christ if we're willing to fulfill his purpose in our life and believe what God clearly says. Notice Micah chapter 4 in your Old Testament. Again, a prophecy that is quoted as inspired in your New Testament. Micah chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, Micah writes. No, this was not a prophecy for back then. This is a prophecy for the latter days, our time, leading right up to the kingdom of God. That the mountain of the Lord's house, the term mountain is often used as a symbol of a kingdom or government, shall be established in the top of the mountains. In other words, Christ's kingdom will be over all the others, and shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. God has a way of life. It isn't just believing on Christ. That's part of it. That's the beginning. But why leave all the rest out? Why leave it out? Why just say believe on the Lord and stop there? God does not say that, but that's what many of you have been taught. He'll teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth. And time after time after time in your Bible, if you've been watching and seeing this Tomorrow's World program, you understand that God has a way of life, and that way of life is based on his spiritual law, the Ten Commandments. And that law is going to be the basis of his government, the basis of the whole way of life, all through the coming millennial rule of Christ, a way of life. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, he shall judge between many peoples that's on this earth, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You have to be taught war. You have to be taught how to hate and kill and how to be an effective killer. You won't be taught that way in God's coming government. I was in the Reserve Officer Training Corps for a number of years, was taught how to kill in that sense. And they taught us, literally, the regular Army sergeant coming in to teach us how to ram the bayonet in and twist it a certain way so your enemy's guts would spill right out quickly and you could kill him. He said, well, you guys, you know, you've been taught that you've got to be willing to die for your country. But he said, with a kind of a smirk on his face, he said, the best thing, of course, is to help the other guy die for his country. Ha, ha, ha. Is that what Jesus Christ taught? If there's a real God, you put your faith and trust in Him. And I know and understand, if there's not a real God, you'd better all start carrying guns or doing something. I understand that. But the point is, my friends, there is a real God, and that God will be with us and guide us, lead us, protect us, and we've got to put our faith and trust in Him and believe God. He says in this coming tomorrow's world, verse 4, but everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Everyone shall sit under his vine and his fig tree. There will be personal property. You can have personal property. It will not be communism, and God will bless, and God will prosper, and every man will be a property owner at that time. And that's something to really be thankful for. Look forward to that coming kingdom when there's going to be absolute peace and prosperity and joy and a sense of deep peace and satisfaction such as the world, frankly, has never known. I mean, never known. What is that way of life that prepares us for the government of God? Well, it involves this law of God that's going forth from Jerusalem, because God's whole way of life is based on that law. In Matthew 5 and verse 17, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, tells us how to live, how to prepare for His kingdom. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. He didn't come to do away with them. He didn't come to nail them to His cross. Exactly the opposite. He told us how to keep them in the Spirit. He said, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And He did fulfill them, setting us an example that we should follow His steps. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And whoever therefore breaks one of these least commandments, which of the Ten Commandments do you think is least? Having another God before the true God? Honoring your father and mother? Thou shalt not commit adultery? Thou shalt not steal or lie or covet? Which one do you think is least? It doesn't make any difference. God says we've got to keep them all. So whoever breaks one of the least commandments and teaches men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. It's not the kingdom in heaven, by the way, but the kingdom of heaven, as I've explained. Then he goes on to say, but whoever does and teaches them even the least of the commandments, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. To be great in God's kingdom, you have got to live and practice and teach even the least of the commandments of God. That is what the Son of God said. He said that. And then he went ahead to magnify God's law here throughout this whole Sermon on the Mount. He shows us in the following verses, we're not only to not kill, we're not even to hate another human being. And he says down in verses 27 and 8, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust for her, even to have the attitude of lust in his heart, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Our whole society is based on that, though. We sell everything from toothpicks to motorboats with semi-clad women. We're absolutely filled with lust. We glorify in it. And it's exactly the opposite of what Almighty God tells us we'd better be doing. So we need to understand the Ten Commandments and how important they are as a way of life, my friends. We're to keep them not only in the letter, but in the spirit. Notice in 1 Corinthians 7:19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. You must learn to love the true God, to worship and adore the Maker who gives you life and breath, to walk that way of life, to do what He says, to honor Him in everything you think and say and do. You're not to have an idol, a representation of God. You can't put God in a box. You can't put God in a picture frame. God commands you, don't do that. You cannot take God's name in vain. Don't use God's name carelessly. And you must keep the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, God says. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day, not just any seventh day, the Sabbath day. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. You're to keep it. He tells you then, of course, to honor your father and mother. You're not to commit adultery. You're not to kill. You're not to steal. You're not to lie. You're not to covet and go around wanting more and more and more, as our society teaches you to do. This is the way to keep the Ten Commandments, my friend, Galatians 2 and verse 20. People say, you can't keep the Ten Commandments. Well, that's true. I can't keep the commandments in my own strength, but I can keep them this way, and you can keep them this way. Galatians 2 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul explains, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you really give your life to God in the right way, if you tune in and prove these things to yourself and are willing to follow the truth, then you will have Christ living within you. This is the basis of true Christianity, apostolic Christianity. This is the real wave of the future. So wake up and smell the coffee, folks. God's government is coming to this earth sooner than most of you have realized. Again, be sure to call or write immediately for your free copy of our inspiring new booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity. This booklet will prepare you for the genuine new world order that is coming soon. Call right now. The operators are waiting.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in next week to another powerful Tomorrow's World program. You will be taught and challenged by this exciting program on a topic seldom understood in our modern professing Christian world. Tune in every week as Richard Ames and I give you the real meaning behind today's news and the meaning of life itself. See you right here next week.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.